A little tardy to the party. Let's Theologicus. Let's get to it. This is Thursday, October 21st. We're at episode 116, and we are in Genesis. We are in the story of Noah. We are not out of it. No, the story of Noah did not end with it rainfall and the ark and coming out of the ark. Not even with the rainbow. We're going to talk about that today. But it's not over yet. Because the story is not really about Noah. It's about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to show you how. Now, I want to mention, I'm going to kind of like just put this out here. I'm not very good at talking or sharing stuff about personal stuff, right, on this channel. And I don't think I will do that in preaching, mostly because it's not about me. I'm not trying to make it about me. Second of all, I'm not that interesting. I'm kind of boring. As you have noticed in my teaching and preaching, I don't have a lot of anecdotes because I don't have a lot of anecdotes. I don't have a lot of stories. So there's that. So you come to hear a story. I got one. It's called Jesus Christ. So we're just going to go through the Bible. But all that said, I will say I was just kind of I was kind of thinking about this and praying about this. I really am asking God if I could do this full time, do it all day, every day. I think I mentioned this on the channel before. I was just kind of like, it'd be so sweet if I could do this morning, noon, and night. It'd be so sweet, man. I might even try to do that maybe for 30 days, try to do like 3 streams a day and just see if I can maintain that. Like try to do like the family devotions in Mark or ongoing family or home devotions and whatever. Do that every morning. Lunchtime probably will do gospel meditations. Probably doctrine, something, and then every evening is Bible study. That'd be pretty hardcore, but I think maybe it's doable somehow, some way. Yeah, because I will say this, I do have a lot of written material from the last 12 years, but I'm also halfway done with it. Because the other 3 days are like Mondays was written earlier this year. So but around Romans 12, I will have no more content. But I'm going to stay on that. I might like attempt to get ahead on Romans and finish out Romans before I finish it here. But I do like the preparation of preparing closer to the time that I'm about to teach. And the reason why is because I've seen the grace of God, like in my social media or just in my email. Or I'll see another pastor talk about the verse or the passage I'll talk about soon. I see the goodness in God in that. So I think maybe I'll just keep with that too. And I can add on to it. But also, there's something else I'm praying about because I have a lot of out-of-country traveling. And I'm not sure if I can keep up the 5 days a week. But I don't know. Ooh, I just had an idea. Let me pray about that. Let me get back to you. Yeah, here's an idea. I had a thought. What if I did like home devotions while I was out? Because I could pre-record those, but that would keep it. That might be a way. I like that. Because I'm not sure. Well, definitely I wouldn't be able to live stream because I can't count on the internet in other countries to be like rock solid. I don't want to use up their bandwidth for that anyway. So, oh yes, that might be a gift from God. But we're going to pray about today's Bible study in the book of Genesis. What I love about Genesis is that is the beginning of everything. When God spoke or when Jesus spoke, when you saw God move in any of the other 65 books of the Bible, you can almost always make a reference to Genesis. And I would say almost always, because I don't know the Bible like extraordinarily well. Well, I do supernaturally because of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I know the Bible. But I don't know it like to connect it all the time. And that just means I'm in his grace, you know? So, but let's get into it. I'm going to pray and let's get started. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for this wonderful time, this wonderful blessing, this gift of your word that we get to study, that we get to know because you have given us your Holy Spirit. For me to do what I do, teach and preach your holy word, for us to comprehend it, to hear it, to understand it, to dwell on it, to pray about it, that is supernatural. That is something above our IQ, our EQ, our experience, our identity, our everything. That we can't do that on our own. We are ultimately and ultrally, utterly dependent upon you. God, we need you. Give us ears to hear so that we may hear. We love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen. It is one thing to wrap our minds around the continuous work of God in redemption. It is a whole other thing to sit and think and meditate on the permanence of God's work in redemption. What do I mean by that? When we dwell on the promises of God, especially when it comes to God saving us, I think that things like concepts like salvation, adoption, calling, or even election can be understood pretty simply, right? Whether we believe it or not is a whole other discussion. Now, further still, with even careful, I would say a bigger explanation, we can explain the work of Christ in atonement, that is Christ's payment for our sins, propitiation, Christ's wrath-absorbing death on the cross for our sins, and expiation, Christ's removal of our sins. That's pretty straightforward. See what I just did? Those three big, humongous words that we don't use a lot, we don't use often, I was able to explain it kind of like just real simply. But what about redemption? We hear it all the time in Christianity. We hear it all the time in churches. We hear it all the time in Sunday school. You read it in books. You read it on the blogs. You see it on social media. It depends on who you follow. But what about redemption? You know why I don't think this is easily to explain nor to get to grab the concept of it. Because I see way too many Christians who, by the grace of God, get saved by God and then spend the rest of their lives trying to be their own redeemer when Christ alone is our redeemer. And I don't sit here to be judgmental or it's like, oh, you simple, simple fool. But guess what? The first few years of my salvation, I was saved at 32, thinking, fooled by Satan and by my own flesh, that I thought I knew God. Did not know God, did not love God, had no intention of obeying God, drowning in my sins. And when I was saved, I wanted to do everything unto God, right? Now, there is a good heart behind that, and that is the heart of the Father. But I want to examine something. I want to take this word today in Noah, and I want you and I to simply be and to simply be free and more so freely receive God's good gift. But let me ask you this. What is redemption? What does it mean to be redeemed? And you might say, Joe, I was going to ask you that. And I would be like, I'm glad you asked. But those of you who have already read the passage today know for a fact that the words redemption or redeem or anything to that liking is not in the passage. But let me tell you what God does here is one of the grandest displays of redemption in the Bible, aside from the cross of Christ, right? So I'm not going to meta explain this. I'm just gonna get into the word. Let the word explain this. Okay, I'm gonna do a really poor job of explaining it unless I have the word. Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, understand that I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, birds, livestock, and all the wildlife of the earth that are with you, all the animals of the earth that came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again will every creature be wiped out by flood waters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of my covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all future generations. I have placed my bow in the clouds and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I form clouds on the earth, the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. The bow will be in the clouds. This is a rainbow. And I will look at it and remember the permanent covenant between God and all the living creatures of the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I've established between me and every creature on the earth. Let's get into the supporting text. I don't do these often, but this I thought this is an important way of doing this. 1 Corinthians 7, 22-24. For he who is called by the Lord as a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called as a free man is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of people. Brothers and sisters, each person is to remain with God in the situation in which he is called. To redeem is purchase. Okay? That's appropriate when you're talking about cashing in a coupon or even a gift card. When we speak of redemption, when in relation to humanity, it is far, far more complex and nuanced. No one can simply purchase you. Now, there is sin, wickedness, and depravity, and human trafficking is a very much a real option. But if you are free, no one can just buy you, right? No one can just purchase you and own you. Now, in the past, especially during Bible times, if you owed a debt, you could sell yourself into slavery. Historical note, though, if you kidnap a man or man-steal a person, a what we call an image bearer of God, and take them across an ocean body to sell that person when that same image bearer owed no debt to no one, that is wickedness, an evil, deplorable act in the sight of God. Christian as the American slave owner and the English slave owner might think they were, as Christians and as saved as they thought and lived their lives believing Jesus Christ as much as they thought, if they did not repent of their sins, including the purchasing and owning of slaves in such a fashion, rest assured, they are in a place of their own weeping and of their own gnashing of teeth because they're sitting under the eternal just wrath of Jesus Christ. But I digress. When someone has purchased you, they get all of you, your heart, your soul, your sins, your depravity. And no one has the authority nor the power to purchase anybody, no one except God himself. In the wickedness of man, there is no redemption with humans. There is no purchase power that has all of that person, right? In the goodness of Christ, however, there's only redemption. And with that purchase comes salvation for you. Let's go back into the text. Let's examine where God is at. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, understand that I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, birds, livestock, and all the wildlife of the earth that are with you, all the animals of the earth that came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you that never again will every creature be wiped out by flood waters. There will never again be a flood that destroys the earth. Guess what? You know how you're redeemed by God? when God redeems, God will not destroy you. Calvin mentions it in this way from his commentaries on this exact passage, that the memory of the deluge might not inspire them into new terrors, as often as the sky were covered with clouds, lest the earth should be again be drowned, this source of anxiety is taken away. When Noah saw another rain cloud in the sky after this incident, he never had to second guess that there was another flood coming and somehow he missed the calling of God. If you have been called by God and you love Christ and you want to obey his word, you are under the protection of anything else in this world that is to come. Nor life, nor death, nor anything else in all creation can separate you and me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no judgment for you. The Son of God has been judged in your place. There is no wrath for you. The Son of God has taken on that wrath for you. And there is no condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Part of God saving his people was God's judgment upon sin. For those who trust the Son, they will have eternal life. For those who disobey the Son, the wrath of the Son remains upon them, John 3:36. But there is not an ounce of God's anger left over from the cross for you. If you believe and trust in him, there's no anger, no disappointment, no, oh, I wish they got that right. Oh, man, I wish they'd try harder. Oh, I wish they were better. No, there's not, no criticism, no condemnation, no wrath, nothing left over for you. Guess what? So when you sin, when you fall, if you stumble, when you stumble, guess what you get to do? You quickly confess. You quickly repent. Do so quickly. Make it easy to fall back into the mighty arms of the only Savior you and I have ever known. Now, here's the good news. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living thing, every living creature with you, a covenant for all future generations. I have placed my bow in the clouds, and there will be a sign of the covenant between you and the earth. Whenever I form clouds over the earth and the bow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all the living creatures. Water will never again become a flood to destroy every creature. The bow will be in the clouds, and I will look at it and remember the permanent covenant between God and all living creatures on the earth. When God redeems, God gives you new life. God poured out his wrath, his just judgment on all living things, but he kept Noah, his wife, his family, and all the animals safely within his mighty grasp. They were never not once in danger for their lives, and they were never had perished. But when the ark landed, and they were able to walk on dry ground, not the first time nor the last time we'll see this in the Bible, before they could even work a day, begin building a home, going to make a meal, or even started to live, God spoke to them and gave them a promise. I have chosen you and I have saved you. And because of this new life, you get to go and do. Live this life. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 19. For now on, then we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, guess what? He is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Once God has wiped away the world, and he promised Noah that it would never happen like that ever again, so Noah could go on to live in the grace of God. But what God does for his people, he washes us clean from the inside out, not the outside in, so that we can live in the righteousness of God and live to God forever. Continue on 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 20. Therefore, guess what? We are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin for to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Titus 3, starting in verse 4, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, but not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his own mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we may become the heirs with the hope of eternal life. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 9, verse 17. God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and every creature on the earth." When God redeems, guess what? Here's the point I want to make today in this Bible study. We don't have to pay God back. And I should reward that. We cannot pay God back. Yesterday, I mentioned the insanity of the gospel. Because if you start to dwell on it, and you're thinking, wait, hold on. This is too good to be true. If you think that, if you think long and hard about the gospel, and you think it's too good to be true, I assure you that you are on the right track in the proper thinking of God and his gospel. It is just too awesome. It's too lovely. It's too fantastic. I'm just running out of words here. It is almost enough to drive someone to madness. In other words, how can a wretched, deplorable, wicked, depraved sinner like me be found in the grace and the favor of the holy, just, and righteous God? This is way too good to be true. And I would agree with you. It is too good. Except it would be, except we have the supernatural entrance into our history of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life without sin, although tempted in every way as we were, falsely accused, tried under Pontius Pilate, illegally crucified upon the cross, buried in a tomb for 3 days, but on the third day, the first Easter Sunday, at the righteous decree of God the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, Son of God, who is God, was raised from death to life. In doing so, he had championed and conquered over sin, hell, death, Satan, and demons. It would be too wonderful of a news, but it is no lie. We do have Jesus Christ, and I don't care how atheistic or agnostic you might be, there's one truth. There's one truth that cannot be denied. Jesus Christ was a man, and he is real. But Jesus Christ is also really Son of God, who is God. And he has really commanded you and me to repent of our sins right now, because the kingdom of God is here right now, and that kingdom is not going to stop based on your unbelief. That kingdom of God, even the gates of hell cannot possibly contain what God will accomplish. And all of that, when God saves you, it is a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is God's gift." Salvation, gift. Grace, gift. Faith, gift. Not from works, so no one can boast. Gifts are free. I don't know where you come from or what culture, but here where I live, gifts are absolutely free. They're never earned. And there's no exchange of money. There's no exchange of work. There's no barter system. There's no nothing like that. Here's the point of emphasizing God's free gift. Sometimes Christians, upon being saved by God and with great rejoicing, they want to do all the things. But my brother and sister, just remember one sweet thing. You don't have to pay God back for your new life. In fact, you can't. You can't pay him back. But what you need to go is to go proclaim his word, proclaim his gospel to everywhere, to all creatures of all time, everywhere, to the ends of the earth, and just live this new life by God. John 8, 10 through 11, when Jesus stood up, he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore. You have been redeemed. You have been bought with a price of the only begotten Son of God. Now go and live freely in his good grace and righteousness." Blessed Redeemer, save us from ourselves. Save your people right now. Amen. Join us tomorrow. Home devotions. We're still in Mark chapter 4. I'll talk to you guys later.